If it's possible for you to do so, I want you to turn with me to Esther chapter 8, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 10. Listen to what it says. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post on horseback, and riders and on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause all to perish, all the power of the people, and the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day, in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely, upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The copy of the writing for the commandment, to be given in every province, was published unto the people, and that the Jews should ready themselves yet that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan was rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Our subject today is the results of redemption. Now, as we study the book of Esther, we'll see over and over again set forth very clearly for our learning that this here in the book of Esther is more than one picture of how God saves a sinner. The Lord has but one way to save a sinner. And I'll tell you right now, this way is found from Genesis to Revelation in the Word of God. And therefore, our experience with the Lord has got to correspond with that which is set forth in the Word of God. Now, salvation is not a whole lot of ecstasy and everything like that. Salvation, instead, is a wonderment. Because when God saves us, it's so great and so marvelous that at first we are just filled with wonder and we just can't seem to understand that it's so. And it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to show us very clearly that what has happened is real and genuine and eternal. And then I'll tell you right now, this dawns upon our soul and you never, never get over it. Now the same thing happened with the Jews physically, what happens to us spiritually. Now keep that in mind, if you will. Now listen carefully, again in our text, as we find when Mordecai had the decree drawn up whereby the Jews could defend themselves, we find this is what it says. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. And we find in verse 16, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And my friend, here you have the blessedness of redemption set forth. It's portrayed for us in the book of Esther, and I hope that you'll be able to follow along as I give it to you for these next few moments. Our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, the picture set forth. Number one, the Jewish condition revealed. We find, number one, they were singled out for death and destruction by the law that was drawn up by Haman. And this is set forth in Esther chapter 3 and verses 12 through 15. And we find the law declared their punishment. Now hold your seat. This happened physically, but spiritually, the same thing happens in an individual when the Lord God of heaven gets a hold of that person's soul. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the book of Galatians tells us very clearly these words. Are you following along with me? Oh, I hope you will. I'm turning to it, the book of Galatians, and we find in chapter 3 and verse 10, the Word of God brings these things out. Are you listening? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Here we have the Ten Commandments. And my friend, you better understand it. The Ten Commandments are the edict of God against every sinner. Every sinner outside of Christ is a lost sinner. They don't know it. Every sinner outside of Christ is a cursed sinner. They don't know it. And yet we find they have to know it in order to bring them to redemption. Because no sinner wants to get saved if he can help it until, first of all, the Lord God of heaven has to do what? He has to do a real work in that individual's heart. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Salvation itself is simple, but it's the breaking of the sinner which makes it so difficult. Now let me stop right here. Has God ever broken you? Oh, I hope and pray that He has. The law of the king of Ahasuerus was written upon the hearts of the Jews, and I'll tell you, they knew that they were singled out for death and destruction. The very day was given. It was the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The law declared their punishment. All right? The law of God today declares every sinner's punishment. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we find how true it is. And we see very clearly that we are condemned already. And if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, rest assured of one thing. Every individual who's an unbeliever will spend an eternity in a devil's hell. The second thing about it was this. The Jews were unable to change their condition. This was a law written by King Ahasuerus, and it was the law of the Medes and Persians. And I'll tell you right now, that law was irrevocable. Because of the irrevocability of the law of the Medes and Persians, we find Mordecai had to write a special law against that, or to counteract that, I should say, so that the Jews could defend themselves. But now, the Jews were helpless to change their condition when this law went forth. All right? It needed another law. But with regard to the law of God, my friend, I'll tell you right now, the law of God doesn't change. The law of God is still the same with regard to every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in Christ, we are free from the law of God because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And as the Jews were helpless to change their condition, so every sinner is helpless to change his condition, and this becomes a reality to the individual when the Lord God of heaven moves upon that soul. The third thing about him was this, all right? The Jews not only were helpless to change their condition, but then they were shut up in the darkness of despair. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, when that law went forth, I want you to notice what happened, if you will. Esther chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. Listen to what it says. Are you following with me? I hope you are. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, listen now, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Now what happened? We find, are you listening? In verse chapter 4, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. You know why? Because I'll tell you right now, they were shut up in the darkness of despair. Are you listening? What happened to them physically happens to the individual spiritually. God doesn't save an individual in a split second of time after they've only heard just a little bit of the truth of God. Now don't misunderstand me. God's salvation is instantaneous, but it's the breaking of the sinner that makes it seem so difficult. And every sinner outside of Christ is proud and arrogant and haughty and self-sufficient, and that has to be broken off. And the same thing took place right here with the Jews. The Jews were made to see the helplessness of their condition. And under Holy Spirit conviction, God makes the sinner to see the helplessness of his condition. When that takes place, this is what it says. I was once far away from the Savior, and as vile as a sinner could be. and I wondered if Christ the Redeemer could save a poor sinner like me. I wandered on in the darkness. Not a ray of light could I see, and the thought filled my heart with sadness. There's no hope for a sinner like me. That's the way the Jews felt. And I'll tell you right now, that's the way an individual feels under Holy Spirit conviction. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about? I hope and pray that you do. Then we find also, I want you to notice, the third thing was this. Supernatural help had to come from outside. The Jews could not deliver themselves, and we find no sinner can deliver himself by praying, reading the Bible, or anything like that. Those are nothing but works, and we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through faith, and that of our not of ourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we find what happened, supernatural help was needed. All right, God was raising up Esther. And we find all the Jews, every one of the Jews, were dependent upon the success of Esther's intercession before the king. She didn't know if he would accept him or not, and neither did the Jews. And are you listening? All our salvation is resting upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, Christ was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. And that's why the results of redemption are something else. We find supernatural help was needed. The Jews needed Esther to intercede for them, and the sinner has to have the Lord Jesus Christ intercede for us. And aren't you glad that he does? That's why John 14:6 means so much. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But are you listening? Are you listening there clearly? All right. Every one of the Jews had to have that experience dawn upon them absolutely personally. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, in our text that I mentioned a moment ago, what happened? The Jews did have, what did they have? I'll tell you what they had. Are you listening? They had light and gladness and joy and honor. And that takes place also spiritually in the heart of an individual when the Lord God of heaven saves him. Now you say, what are you talking about? When that decree written by Mordecai counteracted the decree written by Haman, I'll tell you right now, the Jews saw beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was written especially for them, because it was. It singled them out. And you know what took place? They were not only singled out for death, but then this time they were singled out for redemption. And are you listening? It's a picture of what the Lord God of heaven does when he reaches down to save an individual. He singles us out for condemnation, does he not? We're already condemned. We're on our road to a devil's hell. We can't do anything about it. And I'll tell you right now, our praying and our crying and everything like that doesn't do a bit of good, because there has to come the revelation of the reality of the word given to that individual. And the same thing was true with regard to the Jews. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is the Lord Jesus Christ real to you? Has he reached down and given you life and joy and gladness and a good day and honor? Oh, I hope and pray that he has. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. And my hope is that he will, even at this present hour, if you don't know him. If you do, live for him like never before. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Nortier saying goodbye. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.